Welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. In this ongoing series, you will hear Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks from the Catholic community staff and guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle. His homily is for the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B, September 27th, 2009. Enjoy.
I mentioned as Mass began that we deal with plenty of ambiguity and shades of gray in our life, but there are some times when there's clarity and distinctly different options. One of them is hell. The other one, you might think heaven, but that's really not what Jesus said. He just said life. The other one is life, that hell is anti-life, and what I want for you is life. And the thing that brought this all on, the incident that focused Jesus' attention on this topic, had to do with a student, because that's what disciple means. And he had just finished teaching his students when one of them thought he was brilliant and burst out with this announcement. Jesus, you got to hear what I did. I saw this guy, and he was using your name, and he was casting out demons. And so I made him stop. Because he wasn't following us. He wasn't one of us. He was one of them. So I told him to stop. And he thought that he must go to the head of the class or something. He seemed very proud of himself. And Jesus stops him and says, don't stop anybody that's using my name to do good, because anybody that's doing that can't at the same time speak ill about me. Those who aren't against us, they're for us. They're for us. In both the gospel and in that first reading, the Spirit of God comes on all these people in the tent, and then those two guys that didn't show up, and then the Spirit lands on them, and poor Joshua, he's all afraid that the rules are being broken or something. And Moses has to say, are you trying to protect my reputation? Or did you think that I own the Spirit? Would that everybody would be prophets, that the Spirit of God would be poured out all over the place? Well, in both these incidents, I think there's an attitude toward life that I think has to do with scarcity or abundance. Is the world that we live in, the life that we awoke into this morning, we're born into at our birth, is this universe, is this world, is it full of everything we and everybody else needs? Is there enough to go around and even have some left over? Or is it a world of scarce resources where we need to be on the lookout for somebody that's getting more than their share? Or who's not following us, or is taking something from us to their own benefit? How's it going to be? I was thinking back that I think it would be true to say that when I was a child, I was a good little boy. At least I prayed for that every night, because that's what my mom taught me to do. She would come in and tuck me in and help me say my prayers, and it was this repeat after me, sing-songy thing that she probably started when I was about two. And we went through a list of relatives, aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters, and then after we were through this list, she'd say, and make me a good little boy. And I'd repeat, make me a good little boy. And please bring Daddy home safely. And please bring Daddy home safely. He had a dangerous job. All right. So I prayed night after night after night, among all these other bless me, bless this and that and the other person, I prayed night after night to be a good little boy. And I think, on the whole, it worked. Most of the time. But there was this one time. I think it was second grade. I'm not sure. It could have been third. Maybe second or third. At recess. We're playing kickball. Second, third grade was the golden age of my athletic career. You wanted me on your team. And although schoolyard, I pick you and I pick you, I was always in the top two or three. Probably not one, because that spot was taken. Johnny Burke. Johnny Burke didn't even have to wait to get picked because he was such a natural that he was almost always a captain. No questions. Johnny, who are you going to pick? So it happened that he was my best friend. And I knew that he was a good athlete, and I knew I was a good athlete. No problem there. Whenever at kickball he would come up, it was his turn, everybody would say, "Johnny's up, back up!" Because you knew he was going to kick it a long way. It was Johnny, for crying out loud. You knew to get ready, and you knew to go way under the outfit. Well, this one time, this one day, I'm playing between first and second, and he's on the opposite team. He comes up to kick the ball, and he just kicks it into the next county. As soon as it left his foot, that was a home run. So everybody's turning around to watch the flight of the ball and chase after it. And nobody was watching. When he ran by me between first and second, and I just stuck out my leg. And boom. Down he went into this kind of sharp shell that we played on in Texas. And he broke his fall with his hands on the shell. He cut himself and cut his knees. He's crying. And somebody ran up to me and said, "You tripped him." I said, "I did not." And he was a mess. And then the game stopped. And we had to kind of pay attention to his medical needs and so on. And I got away with it. I got away with it. Later, Johnny came to me and said, "I know you didn't trip me." I said, "No, I didn't. I didn't." I think that was the nastiest thing I ever did in my childhood. I knew how to go to confession, but I used confession for I fought with my brothers and sisters, I missed my prayers, I didn't do my chores. And I kind of went through this list of things that were sort of, I don't know, remote to me somehow. But this time I'd done something really nasty from my heart and then continued to do nasty things by not owning up to it and lying about it to a group and to my friend. And I didn't bring that to confession because I hadn't yet really learned how to do confession, I guess. I was doing what I was taught to do, but it didn't happen inside. When I look back on it, I think somehow I bought the lie that the world has only so much athletic talent in it, and Johnny's got too much. And his big old show-off way of kicking a kickball was somehow robbing me of some glory or something, and I felt deprived, and I'd had about enough of it. So I tripped him. You ever behave like that? Have you ever looked around at the world and thought, there's not enough? Or that person's got more than they ought to? What about me? There's a couple of words that can describe this attitude of being in the world with other people where it seems like we're opponents. Sometimes we call it competing. Stanford's a rather competitive place, isn't it? It's rather known for it. There's another word we use, rival, that sometimes defines the other person, the not us person that we're in this rough and tumble with. In fact, have any of you seen those shirts here that say Cal stinks? You ever seen those? Are any of you brand new to Stanford and just been oriented to this place in the last 10 days or so and taught who you're to hate? A competitor, I'm going to play etymology with you. A competitor means, it com means with, and petere means striving or seeking. So a competitor is someone with whom you strive and seek. Arrival is related to river. Arrival is somebody that drinks out of your river. At some point in human history, people looked at a river and said, that's my river. I'm going to drink the whole thing. And you can't have any. And if you do, you'll be my rival. And I'm not having that. I'm going to beat you, trip you, drown you. A competitor, though, is somebody that can be alongside another person in a common striving after the same thing. In athletics, for example, not every athletic contest is built around beating all the other people in the competition. Sometimes people strive to achieve a personal best. And all they're doing is trying to get better at their skill. I sometimes sing in the choir. Do you ever want to just strangle each other? She's got such a pretty voice, I could just kill her. No. If there's anything competitive, it doesn't have to be rivalry. It could be working together to strive toward what's great. That, I think, is what Jesus calls life. That other thing, that dark thing, that defines the world as a place that doesn't have enough good in it, and I'm going to be damn sure I get my share, that's rivalry. And I think hell is made of it. It's so important to Jesus that I think he really, poor John, all he did was open his mouth, and he thought he was saying a smart thing. I stopped these people that weren't following us, and boy, does he get it with both barrels. Suddenly, Jesus is making his little comment this huge object lesson. And you can tell how important it is to Jesus by how graphic his language gets. He starts talking about gouging out your eye and cutting off your hand and your foot. It's that serious. If you've got anything in you like that that's going to think that the world revolves around you, or it's your river and you're going to drink the whole thing, or you have to be better than Johnny, and you'll be treacherous to your own friend if he kicks the ball far. If you have any of that in you, for heaven's sakes, gouge it out. Cut it off, because it's deadly. And he doesn't want death for us. He wants only life and abundant life. So he has the courage to speak to us so plainly and say, please, look around. My Father's created a universe with everything in it that you need to thrive, and everything in it the person next to you needs to thrive. There's enough to go around, and even more. Just share it. Be good, little boys. Be good, little girls. Play nice. Compete if you want. And rejoice in the fact that working together, competing together, can make you both great and draw out greatness in both of you. That, to me, is the spirit of the kingdom that we're invited to live into, not just in the sweet by and by, but here and now, what Jesus just calls life.
The Catholic community at Stanford hopes you have found this edition of Catholic Cardinal Reflections fruitful. If you would like more information about us or our current activities, please visit us online at www.catholic.stanford.edu or come by our offices on the third floor of the Old Union Building, directly across from the Stanford Bookstore. Until next time, this is Father Carl Schlichte, OP, the podcast voice of the Catholic community at Stanford. God bless you.